When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow!
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing in your new house?
I think you can see how I'm doing in my new house, Chris. I'm in the outhouse. I've been banished to the Pete Donaldson HQ, and I'm just surrounded by chairs, boxes, there's a filing cabinet in the background as well. Back when I thought I wanted to make a George Smiley style, John Le Carre style office back in the day, and that filing cabinet has followed me from house to house. It's heavy. It's unworkable. It's completely useless for everything.
It looks so old-fashioned. Like, I can see into Pete's apartment. We use webcams and we do podcasts, and I can see a pile of chairs, like a rucksack, a filing cabinet, and like what looks like a dustbin. Filled with
it's like one of those old adventure games when you used to play on the Amiga or the PC, and just go, I can see a filing cabinet, some discarded chairs, an old workout bench. Do you want to go north, south, east, or attack the orc?
It reminds me of Cluedo a little bit. It was Pete Donaldson in the outhouse with a filing cabinet and a stick. Nice one, though. Well done on the move. Good stuff.
Thanks,
and while you've
mate.
Moved house and done something massive, all I've done this week is get a haircut and struggle to edit a video. So well done.
Looks nice, you though.
Win this round,
you look
Pete.
Good. You look good. It's long on the top, quite pointy at the top as well. There's a lot of product in there. Looking good.
It's that kind of awkward situation. Whenever I meet my hairdresser, I just point at like a photo of someone who's cool, like Liam Payne or someone. I go, do that, do the hair like that. And then I go, but a little bit longer. I don't want to look completely like that. And he goes, oh, well, cut him off. And then he just does it exactly how
it's
it is
lit.
In the photo. So he didn't really share my vision of a longer haircut.
No.
It's very razor thin, but I look rather dashing. I've got I might be on Trash Taste podcast sometime soon, so I thought.
Oh, fun.
I won an award for like worst dressed rubbish person. What was it
on
like
Trash
worst
Taste?
Drip or something? Yeah, I won the award for not being stylish. Bastards.
Worst drip. Wow. you've got a nice whip, but your drip's not up to muster. Never mind, mate. Never mind.
I mean, you know me well. You know I'm a fashion master. Do you feel like that award was not well deserved?
You dress like I was trying to think. Is it Stuart? Yeah. When you see Stuart Lee on the telly, he's always wearing a suit. But when you see Stuart Lee in live, he's always wearing a black t-shirt because he's a bit of a goth. You would be able to sashay into kind of like 80s goth very, very easily with your style. But look. Last time I went to Japan, I bought two jackets, and they were like space cat jackets from Harajuku. So get yourself down Harajuku, mate. Get yourself a whole, new outlook on your drip and your clothing.
Well, I've got my hat. I've got my hat, which just says on it, jumping, pounding the rock. And I'm going to take that, and I'm going to wear that in Trash Taste, and I'm going to win awards for best dressed coolest guy next year.
Is that, I mean, pounding the rock, is that's a basketball term, isn't it, I suppose?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that. Only about one person I know knew that, like jumping, pounding the rock, strange hats of Japan. But yeah, I've been trying to edit this Journey Across Japan episode. It's been over a week since the last one. Apologies, guys. I know a lot of you have been messaging me about it. The truth is, it's one of the best episodes for me. Like the location, it's Ikishima. Not to be confused with Gunkanjima, the kind of abandoned island that looks like a battleship. Ikishima is like a much bigger island. It's probably like 10, 12 times bigger. And it is like an apocalyptic kind of wasteland. It's a bit like the video game The Last of Us, right? And I really want to do it justice. We didn't do a whole lot there. Like when you get to an abandoned island, there's only so much you can do, right? And all we really did was walk around and look at some cats. So it's not that I've been editing things that are good. It's more like I wanted to get the kind of feel of the island right, and I've just been struggling to do that. But I think you're going to like this episode, Pete. I know you love your abandoned buildings, and
I do.
I think this is a Pete Donaldson episode. That's all I've been thinking about editing.
There was like a trailer for the next episode on your Twitter.
Yes,
and there's a lovely shot where you sort of. The camera's sort of inside the golf buggy or something while you're driving around on the golf buggy, and it sort of zooms out. Wow.
you after I released that on Twitter, you messaged me going, wow, look at that shot. The secret to that is it's a 360 camera. So we have a 360 camera on a pole. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, guys, go on the Twitter or Facebook for Born Japan and watch the promo for the latest episode. And the opening shot, we're all like cycling this tandem bike, Joey Natsuki and I, and the camera starts in front of the bike and then we cycle through the camera. And the way we did that was we had a 360 camera on a pole and we sort of poked it through the front of the bike and then started cycling. And it looked like we were passing through it. Really cool.
Good.
And Tokyo Lens Norm, he takes all the credit for that. That was one of the coolest things. He's a master of 360 cameras. That's what he does.
Well, I'm sorry I brought up a shot that wasn't of your architecture. Sorry that it was all
lied.
Tokyo Lens. Look, bloody if he's Tokyo doing lens, it, you, look, good you, shot. You just take all of it, mate. You know, he takes the pay, you take the credit. Don't worry about it.
I'll have to edit that out. I'll have to be, oh, it was me. I did it. It was definitely me. But, but great episode. And hopefully by the time you guys are listening to this, the episode should already be out. So keep an eye out. We've got a story this week that's just titled My Stupid Mount Fuji Story from Heather from Canada. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. I've been meaning to email you for a couple of years, but I've always chickened out. But I recently listened to an episode where you were baffled by the town of Canmore. To be fair, it's a small town, but I recommend checking it out if you're ever in Western Canada. I spent a lot of time in Canmore, and recently we had a surprising earthquake. In those 3 months when I was in Japan in 2019, I was doing research in Osaka. It was fantastic, and I was happy that the lab I was working in didn't really follow the Japanese norm of working horrendous hours every single day. I have a lot of stories, but the one that stands out to me is a stupid choice I made on my weekend trip to Mount Fuji. I met up with a couple of people in my research program to do the climb, and I was adamant that we shouldn't stay in a hut on the mountain, thanks to a few videos that I'd seen that showed how unpleasant that looked. And I think that included your video, Chris, before it was taken down. So we decided to do the bullet climb to get to the summit for the sunrise. All right. Do you know what the bullet climb is, Pete? Have you ever heard of
it? It sounds
climbing?
Like a climb that is ill-advised for anyone who isn't a seasoned climber. It sounds like you're just doing it really quickly.
It sounds like a suicide pact. We take a gun up to the summit of Mount Fuji and shoot yourself in the head when the sun comes up.
Sounds like the wrestling, the Japanese wrestling compendium group, Bullet Club. Sounds like that.
Bullet Club. It's basically when you decide to rush up the mountain in like 5 or 6 hours. And as you climb Mount Fuji, there's a sign at the base that says, whatever you do, don't bullet climb. You're going to die. And clearly, Heather didn't heed that warning. But what did we decide to do the day before to prepare ourselves? We went to Fuji Q Highland Park, of course, and one of those roller coasters made me see stars, and I went on it twice, so maybe it might not have been the best idea. The morning of our climb, we agreed to sleep in as much as possible, but my internal clock is too strong, and I awoke at 7 o'clock in the morning. We warmed up for the hike by climbing the stairs to Chureto Pagoda, oh, God, and fueled ourselves with some corn and mayonnaise pizza. The Chureto Pagoda. That's like the most iconic shot of Japan, where it's like that nice pagoda in front of Mount Fuji. Mm. And I've been there twice and not seen Mount Fuji because it's in the clouds, God damn it. probably don't climb up there before climb Mount Fuji there. It's a pretty tricky climb. Anyway, eventually we made our way to the fifth station and started hiking in the evening. Luckily, it wasn't too strenuous, but this was only because everyone decided to hike it because it was mountain day, so it was extremely busy. The worst part of it all was the stretch from 8.5 to 9th station. Everyone had left the huts for the sunrise, so you could literally take only one step every minute. On top of that, it was so cold and windy that I was falling asleep standing up. And at one point, someone pushed past me and I was convinced that I almost fell off the side to my rocky death. We finally made it to the top just in time for the beautiful sunrise, and I fell asleep on a pile of rocks and got some coffee while my friends hiked around the crater. After hiking back down, aka haphazardly running and rolling my ankles many times, you'd think that we would finally get some sleep. No, we took a bus to Tokyo and went to the Studio Ghibli Museum before heading back to our respective universities. By the time I got back to Osaka, I hadn't slept in 36 hours. Maybe not the most pleasant experience, but overall a great memory. All the best, guys. Heather from Canada. Mad, crazy Heather.
Yeah, did you actually go to the Studio Ghibli Hakuabuchikan Museum? Did you actually do that, or did you just dream it because you were so delirious from tiredness? You saw all the crazy Miyazaki creations in your vision.
Heather is clearly dreaming as she rolled her way down the mountain asleep. God, that sounds pretty hardcore, though. Like, I mean, that's dangerous. If I did that now, I'd probably have a heart attack at some point. Like, that's formidable. But at least you did everything. Like, you literally did the whole Mount Fuji set. Mount Fuji itself, Fuji Q Highland Park, the best theme park in Japan, and the Chureto Pagoda, and some mayonnaise pizza. What more could you want? And you still haven't climbed Mount Fuji, have you, Pete? You've never done it, right?
Never done it. Never had the time. Just been so busy, mate. So very busy. It doesn't sound that attractive when it just seems like a lot of queuing. I know as British people, that's kind of what we're into. It's very much our fetish. But yeah, it just does kind of seem like there's not the most amount of fun.
I mean, I don't look back at it as a fun experience. I look at it as something I kind of had to do. I was considering doing it this year, and I still might. I'm not entirely sure, but it's, I don't know. I just had loads of unpleasant memories from along the whole journey. Like, I don't know, but you got to do it once. It's a great view when the old sun comes up. Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing, unless you do it twice. Good stuff though. Well done, Heather. And, I hope you're doing well. And I guess you don't need to climb Mount Fuji ever again. So congratulations. Now, on the subject of news of the week. It actually revolves around Mount Fuji. Apparently, Mount Fuji is going to be outfitted with 5G capabilities this summer. Isn't that exciting? You can watch the miracle of abroad Japan from the summit of Mount Fuji. Don't get to the top and look at the sunrise. Sit down and watch your favourite abroad Japan episode in 4K on your tablet. Yeah, apparently, June 24th, 5G wireless is coming to Mount Fuji. And apparently, Mount Fuji is actually open this year because last year they closed it because of COVID. Because of the aforementioned queues at the top, the prefectures of Yamanashi and Shizuoka that run it ascertained that it could be a COVID hotspot. Like, how sad is that? How ridiculous is that? That a mountain is a COVID hotspot? That shows you how busy the damn thing is, right? But at least when you queue, you got 5G
getting
now.
Close and close to each other. But people have sort of figured out that as long as you keep your distance, just restrict the amount of people who are actually climbing onto the mountain, I suppose. You got to keep it going. Especially at a time when there's fewer tourists than any time in Mount Fuji's recent history.
Absolutely. Climb it. Let the people climb with their 5G. I kind of assumed that it already had like 5G. Remember that tragic story last year of the guy that like climbed up it and in winter in the snow, which is forbidden, and practically suicide. And in fact, he streamed his own death when he was on the summit because he's literally like walking along. He loses his grip and he says, "Oh, I'm slipping and I've slipped." And then he kind of rolled down the mountain and that was it, unfortunately. So I kind of assumed there was already good internet up there, but guess only 4G. So I don't. Oh dear. But on the subject of technology, got another story this week, which is not so good. Well, it depends. I don't know how you feel about SoftBank or robots. Have you ever come across Pepper the Robot, Pete? Pepper the Robot.
I have. I've seen many people dressed as Pepper the Robot on Halloween. I've seen many Pepper the Robots in different places, from Tokyo Hands to just general kind of home appliance shops.
Yeah. What do you make of them? Have you ever found them to actually be useful? Have you ever interacted with one?
I have, but I mean, I didn't get much change out of them, to be honest. They were very much just a greetings robot. I don't know what firmware, what software you can plug into Pepper, but yeah, she seemed just to be into welcoming people to the shop and saying, oh, hi, Gazimus, to small kids.
I thought it was always something of a gimmick, but they rolled them out. The idea of Pepper the Robot is it's supposed to be like a robot with a heart. It's supposed to be like this friendly thing. It's got quite a cute face. Often it doesn't shut up. As you walk in the store, it just starts talking, and you're like, "Yep, can you stop now?" But like, the idea was to staff every single SoftBank, which is one of Japan's biggest phone companies, to staff SoftBank with a Pepper robot, and so every single SoftBank does have one. In fact, 27,000 were produced by good old Foxconn in China, but they've decided to basically stop producing it because they have not really seen any benefit to having these robots in the stores. Like, I'd never met anyone who went, oh, thank God I met Pepper, it helped me sort out my phone contract. Like, it's just inconvenient, just wouldn't do it, right? But it's kind of sad. Like, as someone who loves robotics, as you'd expect from someone who was on Robot Wars, I do like robots, and it feels like it's kind of a step back that they've suspended them. Apparently, it's the pullback reflects the fading of chief executive Masayoshi Son's plans to make SoftBank the leader in robotics technology, producing human-like machines. For example, a lot of people don't know that Boston Dynamics, one of the most advanced robotics companies that produces truly chilling and disturbing robots that are definitely going to take over. It's owned by SoftBank. They owned it, although I believe they sold the majority stake in the company now. So he's clearly pulled back from robotics because there's not much money to be had in it outside of building cars and things. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Humanoid robots. What's your thoughts
I guess the humanoid side of things are the ones that, you know, nobody's as interested in. But I imagine if you're working for Amazon, if you're the CEO, if you're Jeff Bezos, you're probably very interested in automated processes when it comes to using robots to do stuff. So I imagine the humanoid side of things, not that interested, but I think artificial intelligence led kind of construction and logistics, probably very, very interesting to big multinational conglomerates.
Absolutely. But it's just no fun in that, is there? When you watch a sci-fi horror film, it's not a robot in a warehouse moving a box. You want a humanoid robot with a laser gun. You want a death-defying killer robot, don't you? No, that's not going to happen because they don't make any bloody money. Tragedy.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. I don't know. They could do some sort of publicity stunt, send Pepper the Robot up Mount Fuji to...
I'll
5G.
Just get 15 of them in a room and just get them to fight. I'd watch that. And then I'll make love. I don't know. I'm undecided.
Bring out the katana swords, stick them in the hands and get fighting. They do have hands though, don't they?
Yeah.
They do have hands.
They could hack another one to death. Fantastic.
Not sure how I feel about an incredibly sharp katana sword in the hands of a deadly Pepper the Robot. By the way... Good news on Mount Fuji, bad news for the future of humanoid robotics. We'll be back straight after this break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back, and we've got the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson, from our listeners?
I would like to say a big hello to Robert. Good morning, gents, or maybe good afternoon for you, Chris. It's actually good evening. Is it about good evening? Yes, about good evening, isn't it?
It's evening.
It's evening. You've been on top form of the podcast, and it's really become the best part of my mornings when a new one comes out, so thank you for that. I did buy a For Fuck's Sake t-shirt to show some support as best I could, and it's quickly become one of my favourite items of clothing. There, Chris, if proof be needed, your drip ain't that shit. Anyway, a question for you both. Pete, if you could export one thing from Japan to the UK, what would it be? It could be an ethos, a general mentality, a service provided, a product or anything. What would you want to see from Japan make its way to the UK? Chris, same question to you, but would you like something from the UK exported to Japan? Obviously not the terrible train service, but yeah, would you like anything in particular brought over from the UK that you can't get there? You were giving it the big licks about Coca-Cola flavoured Tic Tacs recently, and then I pointed out that you can buy them everywhere, you maniac.
I think the that's true. God damn it. I think the concept of cynical sarcastic mentality is something we should import here. I think it'd go down very well. I don't know, really. Bring Robot Wars, the TV show from the late 90s. I think it'd be a hit in Japan. I think they'd love it.
Just have a lot of peppers fighting with a katana sword, as discussed. Exactly. Robot Wars. I mean, Robot Wars, they weren't robots. They were remote control cars. And you know that.
How dare you?
You know that because you were part of that entire lie. being on TV with the robot.
There's loads of listeners that don't know what Robot Wars is. Basically, in the 90s.
Keep them in the dark.
The BBC had a TV show where engineers and hobbyists got together, spent ludicrous amounts of money on robots that they then destroyed in mere seconds in a pit surrounded by children waving their arms and shouting. And it was commentated by Jeremy Clarkson and Craig Charles. And I was in it. And,
was it Jeremy Clarkson? I thought it was Jonathan.
In series one, it was.
Jonathan Green. Was it Clarkson?
It was. There's a great shot of my dad and Jeremy Clarkson just. Jeremy Clarkson, like, that was complete chaos. My dad's like, yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Ridiculous.
Oh, fantastic. God. Jonathan Pierce used to do the in-play stuff, I seem to recall. He was very good. He was
absolute legend.
I would not take Robot Wars from England to Japan, but I would take, I think you mentioned it really well, Robert, the train service. There are a million different competing train services in Japan, and I realize that can be confusing for some, but just the general punctuality, the attention to detail, and work ethic of the Japanese rail operators are just second to none. They are reliable. They are extensive. I love the train services in Japan, rural and urban.
I found an interesting statistic the other day, the length of time on average that Japanese trains are late. What do you think it is in seconds or minutes? How, on average, like how late is a Japanese train?
Big test. I think average, I would say 1 second or something, if that.
I mean, that's pretty optimistic.
Is it?
It's 14 seconds. 14 seconds.
Yeah, 14 seconds. All right. Well, yeah, I've never seen it in the UK. Most of our train operators run at like a 90% reliability rating. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Bloody 14 minutes late, isn't it? Dear. We've got one from James from Southampton. Hi, Chris and Pete. James from Southampton here. Recently, I ordered a few Japanese sweets and drinks. Ramne, Pocky and Pocari Sweat. After hearing you speak about it, I decided to order some for myself. I'm not sure if I like it. It has a lingering taste. It's extremely peculiar. I'm going to assume he's talking about Pocari Sweat. Also, I've been studying Japanese for 3 to 4 months. It's a struggle, but I'm hoping to get there after I finish college. I have a question. Which do you prefer, Ramne or Pocari Sweat? Thank you all. Have a good day to the pair of you. I mean, that's an easy one, isn't it? Do you want a drink that explodes everywhere and showers you in a sticky soda? Or do you want Pocari Sweat and get hydrated, which you'll need if you're going to climb Mount Fuji? It's got to be Pocari.
Definitely Pocari Sweat. It's just got that beautiful kind of taste to it where you're like, this is doing me good and I'm refreshed. And it's a little bit salty, a little bit sweet. Oh, mate, it's good.
It is good. It's very good. It's kind of like a health drink, really. It's made by I think Otsuka Pharmaceuticals, like it's an actual pharmaceutical company. So, yeah, I love it.
I love it. It tastes like the stuff that you get when you've got diarrhea.
You know, the stuff. It really does.
It's like a rehydration thing. Liam has got in touch. Hi, Chris and Pete. A while back on the podcast, you guys had mentioned a Japanese town spending their COVID relief money on a giant squid sculpture. This reminded me of a giant inflatable rubber duck that appeared in my hometown of Toronto that cost about $200,000 in tax dollars back in 2017. While everyone was initially very angry about the absurd use of tax dollars, it turned out the duck actually helped bringing $7.6 million in tourism spending to the city. The duck was brought here for a Waterfront Festival during Canada Day weekend and turned it into an attraction, and many people ended up spending money at their local businesses while coming downtown to see it. So maybe this means that the town is onto something with the squid, although to be fair, probably not the best timing. Perhaps they could be squids in. Pathetic. Absolutely.
I didn't write that.
Love the podcast. Cheers, guys. Liam. To Pete, congratulations on Hartlepool getting promoted back to League Two. Any town with a monkey mayor deserves to be in the Football League. A very stressful end to that particular playoff campaign. Hartlepool scored a goal quite early on. They looked like they were going back into the league, which is very important to the town. It's a very financially depressed area, and the football team is very important. And then I think about the 92nd minute, like seconds away from the referee blowing the final whistle, the Torquay United goalkeeper came up, a Brazilian chap, and scored a header. So that was annoying, but they managed to get through on penalties in the end. But it was very special. Well, my friend was in a casino watching it in London, expat Hartley Pudlian, and he threw his coat at the screen and got thrown out.
Oh my God.
He was so excited.
But at least they got three.
At least they got back.
That's great news. I mean, I don't, in the subject of the rubber duck bringing in $7.6 million, how do you work that out? Like, do you literally stand by the riverside and be like, why are you in Toronto? Is it the duck?
Is it the big duck?
It's the duck, isn't it? I've come for the duck. Nobody goes to Toronto to see a duck. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. I had a lovely night out in Toronto recently. Well, not even recently, just like a year and a half ago with the Football Ramble tour. So look, if they're going to come and see the Football Ramble, my football podcast, they're going to see a big, big rubber duck, for crying out loud.
But did you see the rubber duck?
I didn't see the rubber duck. No, didn't have time.
I guess it's gone
straight
now,
in, straight out. I was. I had to go to Chicago.
I don't know. I think that squid, the old $200,000 squid. In, I think, was it Canazao or something? I think that could probably bring in money to the economy in the long run. It was more a case of poor timing with the whole COVID situation and people being sick in hospitals, spending 200 grand on a gigantic octopus squid statue. It's not the best PR move, is it? I could have thought better ways to spend
If you're delirious with COVID in the sweats, you don't need to be walking down the street and seeing that. You think you've gone mad.
Yeah, that would push you over the edge, I think, seeing that crazy statue. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days on Thursday to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. Check out the latest episode of Journey Across Japan, an apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic wasteland. And I think it's going to be a special episode, so I hope you enjoy it. But for now, guys, all the best. Have a good one.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.